I feel the Holy Ghost moving in this house right now. Praise God. We are delighted that Brother Holland is back in the house tonight. Brother Jeff asked that the youth committee would get together this evening after service. They have to make a plan for Friday night. So if you're on the youth committee, get together with Brother Jeff and your cohorts together there in the prayer room after service. Brother Holland, we're excited about you being here. Glad you brought your family. Want you to take your liberty and just tell us what the Holy Ghost has told you. I love it when God brings a word of prophecy in the house. Don't you love the word of God tonight? Don't you love the messenger of God? Extend your hand toward him. Pray for him as he comes. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I bless thee, O Lord, with all that is within me. I bless your holy name. I bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We're going to bless the Lord tonight while we minister the word of the Lord, aren't we? We're going to bless him. Yes, we are. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to be back in the house of the Lord. When I found out I was going to come back this Wednesday after last week, you folks just showed out while Pastor was gone last week. It didn't miss a lick. Sunday morning and Sunday night, all the good things, and then that Wednesday night, they just act like they could have church. We want you to have church without us. We don't want you to think you can. Okay, we just don't want you to ever think you can have church without us, because pastors plan on coming back. And aren't you glad Brother and Sister Sutton made it back safely? Hallelujah. Yes, we are. It's good to have Sister Holland with us. It's not often she gets to do that, but we're glad that she is here. Thank you for that. Thank you. I'll try not to spill that while I preach. So I'll move it right up there. But I was excited to be able to come back. I have spread this church's name in a few places I've been. I've told them, if you want to go to a church where it starts off hot, gets hotter in the middle, and ends up hot, you want to go to the Birmingham church, because it starts off hot and just gets hotter. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for the room, the accommodations, for the meal at the Italian restaurant today. It was just incredible. I don't know when I've ever eat Italian food fixed any more delicately and more tastefully than the friends that provided for us this afternoon, and we thank you so much. Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10. Luke 19 and 10. I will get finished tonight before you do. Okay? Just a few minutes before you get finished, I am going to get finished. I am thankful that your pastor is a visionary. I'm thankful that he has called this week of consecration, because we do understand that we are trifling with a lot of things from the enemy. We know that he knows that he hath but a short time, and so he is doing everything he can to circumvent and to short circuit the move of God in our lives. Somebody say circumvent. Short circuit. He'll do everything he can. So do not think it is strange when you begin to feel the fiery darts of the enemy right in the middle of a red hot apostolic service or a red hot apostolic prayer meeting or revival. Don't think it strange if you get sideswiped. Don't think it strange if you get broadsided. Don't think you're the only one that the devil's picking on if things all of a sudden begin to try to turn upside down. Understand that Satan has just a little bit of knowledge. I didn't say all knowledge. I said he has a little knowledge into the workings of God. And he has been at this mastery a long time. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Amen. I'm not just taking up your time. I'm telling you something from the Lord right here. He's been at this a long time in deceiving people. He's been a long time to press your hot button, a long time to hit your pressure point. He knows the exact right time to try to send a strong delusion, to try to send some kind of some discomfiting to your life, so that you will begin to be mesmerized by what's going on and lose your focus of what God is doing for you. That's why we pray and fast. That's why we consecrate. We want to be wise to the devil. We don't want to lose what we have. I'm already talking to you tonight. You can't go 3 steps forward and 4 steps backwards and never get anything from God. That's what happened to us for years. We get a little ahead, and then we get a little back. We think we're going somewhere, and the devil knocks us around. Somewhere, we're going to scotch ourselves, and we're going to grow and mature and develop and become the child of God we need to be. And that's why I am not ignorant to his devices. I know when he does it. I know how he does it. And he's not going to keep doing to me what he's always done, because I am going to stand on my faith. I'm going to stand on his word. And Satan, you're not defeating me anymore, because I know who you are and I know what you can do, and you're not doing it to me anymore. Hallelujah. Boy, I could preach on that for a little while right there. But let's talk about the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came to do. He came to seek and save that which was lost. I saw that my work was cut out for me a while ago. The majority of you folks marched around this building. Either you're sick, either you're going through some difficulty, either you're broke, or there's something ailing in your body. Almost everybody walked around. So there ain't no reason why we shouldn't have some kind of deliverance tonight if there's that much wrong in the house. I'm glad there's needs. I'm glad there's need. He can't bless you till you got a need. Amen? I said, you may be seated. How's he ever going to help you till you got some problem? How's he ever going to deliver you from anything if you're not going through anything? How could he ever heal you if you don't have a sickness? We are not going to let the devil keep doing to us what he's always done to us. We're getting ready to stand up and declare. Thank you for the song tonight. We're getting ready to declare war on the devil. If he wants to put me between his crosshairs, that I'm going to put him between faith and the word of God. He is not going to keep taking away from me. I'm getting ready to take back what the enemy took. I'm about ready to stand up and say, devil, I've laid down my last night. I've cried my last tear. I've given away to the last moment of doubt and fear. I'm going to stand up now and look at you and say, I will not fear what the enemy can do unto me, because God is on my side. I am not ignorant. I've been with you before. I've seen you fight me. I've felt you come against me. I know what you're trying to do, but it ain't gonna work. You tried to take my family, if my help's coming right now. You tried to take my family a few years ago, and you didn't do it then, and you're not doing it now. You tried to afflict me a few years ago. It didn't work then, and it ain't gonna work now. I'm not taking on no more sickness. I'm not taking on no more pain. All I got is all I'm gonna help me, Lord. I said, all I got is all I'm gonna get. I ain't taking on no more pain. Somebody say no more. Somebody shout no more. That's enough, devil, right there. You gotta stop right where you are. I'm not gonna let you afflict me any more nights. I'm not gonna be dreary and weary and worn out and worn down. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm telling on him right now. Look at somebody, say, he's telling on the devil. He's telling on the devil. The devil don't like to be told on, folks. He likes for you to believe that you know, he don't want you to know how bad he is. But I got a feeling he ain't nearly as bad as he thinks he is. And I do know he can't do what he thinks he can do. He doesn't have the power that he thinks he has. You see, every once in a while, the devil thinks he's got all power until a child of God lifts up their voice and declares the name of Jesus and say, I rebuke thee, Satan. Honey, you're going to have to learn how to look at him and say, I rebuke thee, Satan. I rebuke the sickness. I rebuke the trouble. I rebuke the financial pressure. I rebuke the dilemma. Honey, you're going to have to learn how to stand up and say, I rebuke you, Satan. Somebody shouted out, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. I am not going to sit down and sit by and tolerate. Somewhere you got to have more than a positive mental attitude. You got to start rebuking the devil. You got to tell him, my body doesn't belong to yours. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I have the Spirit of the living God dwelling in me. I was not made for a knife. I was not made for a pillbox. I was not, no, my body was made to glorify God. Hallelujah. I found the scripture the other day, Bubba, that David was talking to the Lord, and he said, Lord, if I die, who is going to praise you like I do? Now, Lord, if I die, if you take me out of here, who's going to praise you? That's the way I want to be to God. I want to let him know, now, Lord, if you'd only hear me, nobody's going to praise you like I can. Can't nobody dance for you like I can. Don't nobody want to worship you like I do. So, God, you're going to have to give me some strength. I've come to tell you tonight, you can't let the devil keep doing that to you. You can't sit there and just roll over and die. Don't you know who you belong to? Don't you know that there is a balm in Gilead? There is a physician among us. There's some stripes on a back. There's some sword marks in his side. Don't you know that by his stripes you're healed? I believe the healer's in the house right now. I believe the deliverer is in the house right now. I believe the financial help is in the house right now. I believe the blessing God is in the house right now. Somebody say, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. You can't let him do that to you. I used to tell our young ladies in the church I pastored, all three of them, I said, don't let him do that to you. Don't let him do that to you. Don't let her do that to you. You know, you get to dating, and none of you young people know this, because y'all don't date till you're at least 18, and that's double date till you're 21, and then you get married at about 25. And all the young people say, oh, not me. That's what I thought, You heard her over here, didn't you? There's some things we take, folks, that we don't need to take. Let me ask some of you precious children of God, why in the world are you taking from the devil what you're taking? Why in the world are you letting the devil do to you what? You see, I wrote this down this afternoon when I was in the room. The devil can't do any more to me than I let him do. He cannot do any more to me than I let him do. Now you gotta let him depress you. You're gonna have to let him make you upset. You're gonna have to take on. Honey, do you think that sickness comes from God? Do you think that depression comes from God? And so when things come upon you, do you think that sickness? Do you think a malady? Do you think a disease comes from God? It does not. It comes from the devil. Because we know that when there was a sin in the beginning, that caused there to be the diseases we have. So do you not think that there is a God that's greater than your disease? There's a God that's greater than your depression. There is a God that's greater than your dilemma. Then why are you standing there or sitting there right now and say, I'll be glad when God touches me? I've come to tell you, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, and the devil cannot keep Jesus from me. I said, the devil can't keep Jesus from me. Hallelujah. Do you understand? In the very beginning, that Satan tried to keep Jesus from us. Do you not understand that when he was a baby, that Herod said, I'm going to kill all the male children. And he killed all of those 2 years and under. Do you know that when Jesus was here on earth, that Satan says, I'll keep him from you. And so he took him and he was nailed to a cross by the religious mob. And the devil says, now I've got him. But on the third day he resurrected and said, he that was dead is alive forevermore. Do you help? You got to get this. You got to get this. Satan has always tried to keep Jesus from you. Why do you think he's fighting you in this week of consecration? Why do you think he's fighting you when you go to prayer? Because he knows every time you go to prayer and you begin to seek God, he knows what happens. Why do you think the devil tries to keep you from fasting? Because the devil knows every time you come out of a fast that there is a glorious power that comes upon you. I've come to tell you tonight, you've got to be determined. Satan, you're not keeping Jesus from me, because in him is my life. In him is my joy. In him is my peace. If you can ever get to Jesus, I said, if you can ever get to Jesus, that's why he fights your worship. That's why he fights you coming to church. That's why he fights you in your meditation, because he knows if you ever touch him, if you ever get close enough to feel his presence, the devil knows you will not be the way you are. Why are you fighting so hard? Why is it so difficult at times to come to the house of God? Because Satan knows if you ever get to where Jesus is, in him is peace and life and joy. That's why the devil fights. Somebody say, I rebuke you, Satan. And so if Satan can keep you down, if he can keep you discouraged, why do you think? That's why I started out my message tonight and my remarks by telling you that Satan wants to keep Jesus from you. That's why I say when you start to move toward God, there's going to be every interference that you can imagine come to your life. If you don't do anything, then you're not going to fight as much. I've had people tell me, Pastor, when I was pastoring, they said it seemed like the closer I get to God, the harder that it gets. Oh, really? That's a no-brainer. Do you think the devil wants you having power? Do you think he wants you tearing down his kingdom? Do you think he wants you waking up in the morning and say, I rebuke you, devil. I will never have another bad hair day in my life. I'll go into my office full of the Holy Ghost. I'll go into my schoolroom full of the Holy Ghost. I'll stop at the gas station full of the Holy Ghost. I'll go to the laundromat full of the Holy Ghost. But you're not going to keep me from becoming the kind of witness and the child of God that I need to be. That's why he's fighting you so hard. That's why he's working on some of you so hard. Now, if there is a healer, if there is a deliverer, then I ought to be healed and delivered. My wife's had this little growth come up on her eyelid, just below her eyelid the last few days. It got enormous just a few days ago. And we were leaving the motel room a while ago. And she said, hey, look at this thing below my eye. I tried to find that thing. It is so small now. And it was huge at the beginning of the week. What are you saying? I am saying the devil says, you are not going to get what God has for you. You're not worthy of that. You're not deserving of that. You know what you've done. You know who you are. I've come tonight to tell everybody in this building, you're going to have to learn how to take authority over your feelings and authority over your afflictions and authority against your adversary. You're going to have to learn to look him in the face and say, devil, I rebuke you. I've been down long enough. I've been up and down long enough. I've been miserable long enough. I rebuke you, Satan. You see, the devil's trying to keep some of y'all from Jesus tonight. You hear me? He's trying to keep you from Jesus because he knows that when you touch him, virtue flows. He knows if you ever get to Jesus. It came to my mind a while ago when I thought about this word that I was going to give to you. You see, he knows if you ever, he ever keeps Jesus from you, that you'll never go because they had some taxes to pay. Y'all needed some money, remember? They had some taxes to pay. You see, they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't sell enough. Their business wasn't doing good enough. And so they came to Jesus. And what did Jesus tell them to do? He told them to go fishing. Go fishing. Because the coins in a fish's mouth, they went fishing. What happened? They went fishing and they got the fish and they pulled the coin out of the mouth. Let me say, the devil doesn't want you getting to Jesus because he knows your financial help is in the name of the Lord. He wants you to work overtime. He wants you to miss church as much as you can. He wants you to try to take pen and paper and figure it out. But what you don't understand, if you can ever get to Jesus, I said, Jesus knows how to give it to you. Pressed down, full, and running over. But that's what the devil says. You don't get to Jesus. I gotta get to the house of God. I gotta get to see the devil's trying to keep you from getting to Jesus. Some of y'all are gonna have to learn how to get up and press your way into the kingdom of God. You're gonna have to push your way into the presence of the Lord. I don't feel like it too bad. I've had a bad day, too bad. If you want healing, you got to touch Jesus. If you want to be blessed, you got to touch Jesus. If you want to have help, you got to touch Jesus. Somebody say, I rebuke you, Satan. See, David was not having a good hair day. And he said, when I got to looking around, I saw all the prosperity of the wicked. I saw these sinner folks pulling their boats to the lake on Sunday. Well, I was going to church in my beat-up bomber. I was going home to eat some leftovers. And I saw Outback full. Yeah. I was on my way to church Wednesday night. And I saw people outside on their lawns and they were sipping on some iced tea or some Bud Light, and it looked like they were enjoying life more than I was. You see, that's why the devil wants you to get looking around instead of looking up. If the devil can ever get you looking around instead of looking up, you're going to see something that's going to get your eyes off the Lord. I've come to tell you, in a week of consecration and prayer and fasting, you can't look around. You got to look up, because David said, my help cometh. My help cometh. Amen. It didn't say it might come. It said my help cometh. It didn't say maybe. My help cometh. That's what you got to believe. My help cometh. I don't. Oh, y'all got to help me a little bit tonight. I don't know when it's coming, but my help cometh. The devil can't delay it. The devil can't deny it. My help cometh. I don't know if it's going to be Monday or Tuesday, but my help is coming. I don't know if it's when I'm flat on my back or jumping on my feet, but my help cometh. The devil can't stop from coming because my help cometh from the Lord. Oh, y'all gotta help me now. It doesn't come from my banker. It doesn't come from my paycheck. It doesn't come from anywhere but from the Lord. My help don't come from some encouraging words from somebody else, but my help cometh. It comes from the Lord. I'm trying to tell you, the devil's trying to keep Jesus from you, but you gotta keep pushing until you get a hold, because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. My help coming. Look at somebody say, my help coming. My help coming. It's coming from the Lord. It's in the house. My help's coming. It's just, you got to understand, it's not just a tired body. It's an enemy spirit. It's not just what you think, a confused mind. It's an attack of the enemy. It's not because you got more on you. Oh, help me, Lord. It's not because you got more on you than you got in you. Honey, you got more in you than you ever thought about having on you. Satan can't put enough on you to match what you got in you. Hallelujah. And that's why he really does think, if he puts enough on me, that it's going to shut down what is in me. He can't put enough on you to shut down what's in you. Honey, he can't shut your mouth enough to get you not to praise God. He thinks, I'll put enough on you that'll shut out what's in you. Devil, you try to do that, and if I can't speak it, then I'll whisper it. If I can't whisper it, I'll just gum it. But my help is in me. That's what the writer said. My help is in me. What you think is not there, it is there. What you think you don't have, it's in you right now. The Holy Ghost doth work in your life. It's in you right now. He said, I give you power over the power of the enemy. You got to open up your mouth tonight. Yeah, I can hear what some of y'all are saying right now. Yeah, I hear that going all over this church, Pastor. I can't. It ain't for me. I don't know why somebody else always gets their blessing. How come their family always seems to survive? Why is my family under so much stress? How come nothing ever good happens to me? Shut your mouth. You know what you do every time you say that? You're empowering Satan. Well, yeah, every time you say, I can't, you are empowering Satan. Every time you begin to say, I can't do that, you are empowering Satan. Because the life or death is in the power of the tongue. And every time you say, I can't, the devil says, ka-ching. Every time you say, I can't do this. Every time you say, I guess I'll live with this sickness. Every time you say, my family's never going to be saved. Every time you leave the church, say, I don't know why God's blessing them and ain't blessing me. Every time you give your tithe and offerings and say, if I wasn't paying this, I would be able to buy something else for my... I know the devil, Bubba. I know what he says to you. I know how quickly he can become that parasite upon you and suck the very life out of you. I know how he can attach himself to your body and make you feel like that you don't have anything at all left. I know how he can attach itself to your mind and tell you, if God don't help me, I'm going to lose my mind. I know how he can attach your thinking and say, oh God, I don't know why that I have to be the way I am. I guess I'm like my mama. I guess I'll always be like my daddy. I've come to rebuke the devil tonight. I've come to tell him, when I found Jesus, I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. My daddy don't have a hold on me. My mama don't have a hold on me. My brother's addiction don't have a hold on me. My sister's addiction don't have a hold on me. You're trying to keep me from getting to Jesus. You're trying to shut my interest into his presence. Oh, he is so mad right now. He hates me telling off on him, Bubba. You hear me? He hates me telling off on him. My God, he wants y'all to believe that lie and be damned. He wants you to walk out of here and say, I guess I got nothing tonight. You see, oh, Lord, I got to get out of here before too late now. You know what? He wants you to make you feel you didn't get nothing out of this service. Well, there's one thing I found out. Satan can't read my mind.
That's right. Amen.
But he can read my actions. Would anybody like to put one on the devil tonight? Oh, I appreciate you 20 folks. Anybody want to put one on the devil tonight? Oh, he can't read your mind. He can only read your body language. So when he sees you just sort of sitting around in church, when he sees you worshiping with just a little bit, when he don't hear those tongues springing out of your mouth like an artesian well, when he doesn't see that smile and he doesn't see that reaction, I knew if I put enough on them. I knew if I twisted them just enough. I knew if I hit them at the right spot. I knew if I taxed their finances enough. I knew if I put an affliction on them. I knew if I put a heartache in their family. I knew that if I caused the family to begin to have a little friction, it would keep their determination away from God. But Satan, you can't read my mind. You can only read my body language. So I want you to read something right now. I ain't down and I ain't discouraged. I got the Lord on my side and I will rejoice always. I said I will rejoice always. You're not keeping me down. You're not shutting me off. I rebuke thee, Satan.
Now I know what you're doing. You're waiting for my next point, right? That's just the way y'all is. That's just the way y'all is. Y'all wait for the next good point. You enjoyed that in about 20 seconds, and now you're going, okay, what's the next one? Give me something else shout about now. I got that one, Phil.
All right. Hallelujah.
I've come to tell you now, he's a liar. I've come to tell you, you're not losing your mind. I've come to tell you, you're not losing your family. I've come to tell you, your business is not going to ruin. Oh, my God. There's something in the house tonight. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Now, y'all don't sing that song to me and shout over it if you can't believe it when things are going tough in your life. Abraham, I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you, because you are my friend, Abraham, and you are in covenant with me. I want to throw something at you. Something out to you theologically, and that if I'm wrong, Pastor can clear it up Sunday, and I won't come back for 2 weeks instead of one. You never, ever, 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 ever. Somebody say ever, ever, ever. Now, did you say it like I did the last one? Ever, ever, ever. You never, ever have to ask God to bless you. You wasted those words, bless me. You never have to ask God to bless you. I saw this the other day, and it knocked Jabez's prayer right out the window. I thought, my God, I prayed that for 3 years, taught it to my church, and the first thing that I prayed for years, bless me, oh Lord. And I got to study old brother Abraham, and I said, no longer do I have to ask God to bless me. I am blessed. If I am in covenant with God, he said, I will bless you. So why am I asking God to do something that is already promised that he would do for those who are in covenant with him? Honey, you're blessed. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the country. You're blessed when you go in, and you're blessed when you come out. Somebody say, I am blessed. That's why I feel to tell everybody in this building that's got a,
That's it, baby. Go ahead. God's blessing you right now. He's putting a blessing on you. That's why I felt to say a while ago what I said. If you are a business owner and you give God what is rightfully his. Oh, Lord. If you give and you don't give cheerfully, don't give it at all. Because God won't love you if you don't give it cheerfully. If you give it begrudgingly, if you give it out of necessity, then God won't, because God loveth a, not just a giver. Oh, God's going to love me because I give. That ain't word. God loveth a cheerful giver. I've come to tell everybody in this building that's got a business. The devil cannot destroy. He cannot shut down. He may detain, but he cannot destroy. That's why when I was praying today and praying for all of those businesses down in the Gulf area of our people who've served God for years and who have given the kingdom for years and their business is in shambles, I felt like the Lord spoke to me and told me that that is only a detaining, but that is not a destruction. I will raise back up because they are my people and I will bless them. I will multiply them. I've come to tell this church tonight, the devil wants to shut your consecration down, but you're not keeping me from Jesus. I'll run, I'll shout, I'll fight, whatever I gotta do, I will find Jesus. I will find Jesus. You're not keeping Jesus from me. Somebody say, I rebuke you, Satan. Rebuke you, Satan. Give me just a little bit of music, honey. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, Satan. This church just messes me up every time I come. First time I come, I was going to preach something. Bingo. God just knocked. Last week, God's going to preach on the bingo. I'm trying to preach this thing here, and it's just like when I get here, Lord says, oh. I'm going to put an anointing on you when you preach those folks. I'm going to do something when you get among those people. There's going to be a Holy Ghost. You see, you got to understand, God will defy your enemies. Jesus, you got to hear me. I got something to say tonight. You got to hear what's going on right now. God's going to defy your enemies. If they're standing up against you right now, they cannot stand. Yeah. Right now, the Lord just spoke to me the way he does and said that through somebody's veins tonight into your heart, there flows freshness of that blood that was restricted becoming into your heart. It said, I am now opening up those avenues and veins that blood will be able to pump through, and every restriction leaves right now in the name of the Lord. I want somebody to praise God for that right now. It just flowed. That blood flows now. That blood flows through some people's lives into those veins, in those arteries. I command, I rebuke thee, Satan. It flows into that body restricted. I said it flows right now in the name of the Lord. I rebuke thee, Satan. I rebuke thee, Satan. What is it now that you are being confronted with? Think about it. You walked around this building a while ago. There was some confrontation going on physically, financially, mentally, spiritually. There were confrontations going on in you. Now let me say, if you walk out those doors and down those steps and you don't get what you needed, it was not because Jesus is not in the house. When I walked in and those two wonderful people in my family walked in, if nobody
else knew it. I knew it because where two or three gather in my name, I am in the midst of them. I know he came in the name. I know they came in the name. So evidently I've got Jesus in this house, and I ain't leaving till I get what I need from him. I ain't going home like I came. I rebuke thee, Satan. I rebuke my adversary. I rebuke the confusion in my mind. I rebuke the onslaught against my family. Some may say, I rebuke you, Satan.
Let's try this again now. Let's try this again. My. Either he's here or he ain't. Thank you, one that said amen. Either he heals or he don't. Either he's a blessing God or he ain't. Either he is a deliverer or he ain't. But I tell you what, I ain't going out those doors the way I came. I rebuke thee, Satan. I rebuke thee, Satan. Last Wednesday night, I spoke a word the Lord gave me that within 4 days that there would be a family member that would call one of you, and they would be asking you about God and about what you believe. What was his name? Monty? Tell everybody what happened Friday morning. This was Wednesday night. Now listen, what happened Friday.
It was like 7:30 in the morning, so I was sleeping. So then the phone rings, and I pick up because I was thinking it was my brother, because he called me every morning. It was my sister, and she told me, and she's like, "You was talking about God last week, and now I cannot sleep. I just want you tell me the truth, and I want to be saved." Hallelujah. And I called my sister tonight, and now it's my brother too. He want to know about truth. He want to be saved. And he's stuff for my sister, and I know my God and my mom, my dad is gonna be saved.
He said, "My sister never calls me, never." He said, "But I always have to call her because it's cheaper to call from here to there than it is there to here." And 2 days later, she calls and she said, "I want to know about your God. I want you to tell me what you found." That's why I'm telling you, folks, either he's in the house or he's not in the house. Either he's here or he ain't here. Either he's an on-time God or he ain't an on-time God. So let's just put your faith to the test. Oh, this is so good. I'm having so much fun right now. Yeah, but God, oh, Lord Jesus. But God will heal me when he gets ready. Somebody please find that in the word for me. God heals me when he gets ready. I can give you a lot of scriptures that says, "According to your faith, so be it unto you." And he saw their faith and they were healed. And they reached up and they took hold of him and said, "Virtue hath flowed out of me." He became ready to heal you on Calvary. He became ready to heal you in Gethsemane. He became ready to supply your needs. So, we're going to march again. And this is going to be a different march. Before,
y'all just shouting right here. The music was jamming. I mean, y'all just feel so good, high-fiving one another and going right here because you had a need. I don't know about you, but having needs don't excite me. Being broke don't excite me. Being down and out don't excite me. Having confusion in my family don't excite me. But I tell you what does excite me. To know that there is a God in Israel that says, ask anything in my name and I will do it. So they're going to jam it again. And we're going to huck and buck again. Brother Wilbank said last night, going to take the H off huck and the B off buck and just uck it. But we're just going to uck it for a little while. But as you go around this building tonight, whether you're running and dancing or walking or what, I want you to walk around here and I want you to thank God that God, I rebuke the devil. I rebuke the sickness. I rebuke the malady. I rebuke the discomfort. There are going to be some of you all that are in pain now, that by the time you get full circle around this building, you are not going to be in pain anymore. There's going to be some of you that have not spoken tongues in a little while, but before you make full circle around this building, you're going to be lifting your hands and you're going to be speaking in tongues. You've got to start marching and running and dancing right now. Take off there, Bubba, and I want you to thank God. I rebuke you, Satan. I am healed. I am delivered. My finances are blessed. God answers my prayer. I bless the name of the Lord. He is on my side. The Lord flows right now in the name.
name of Jesus into your body, into your mind. I rebuke the conflicting thought. I rebuke the powers of the enemy. I come against it in the name. The very affliction that you destroy every attempt of the devil, that you loosen upon this moment by the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. I am a friend of God.
I rebuke you, Satan.